We have been taking some time over this little book of 1 Thessalonians. Almost like we are reluctant to leave this book, which came from the pen of this wonderful man called Paul. And as I read and ponder, I hope you have done so too. Do you? Small in size, 5 chapters only, and yet it is full of pastoral concern and love for all of us. Written to the church in Thessalonica, it is so applicable to us today. The theme for today's sermon is, as printed, faithful to the end. And this comes from the words of Paul himself, that we derive this thought. Just to briefly take you through what Paul has been writing so that we come to the conclusion that leads to this theme of our message, faithful to the end. What is Paul talking about? Why is he so concerned? Remember, this letter is to the church of Christians in Thessalonica, a church which grew out of persecution by the apostles who had escaped persecution from the city of Philippi, where they were beaten and whipped, put in prison. Then God intervened and released them in a midnight miracle. Remember that? Who, like Paul and Silas, incarcerated with their legs in stocks that they cannot move. And at midnight, they sing praises to God, and God comes to answer and to release them. And out of it, a family is saved, the Philippian jailer. And out of all this, a church grows. Isn't it great? Our God is great and able, but we must be faithful. And that is the theme of today's message. Faithful to the end. Your coming here this morning is a sign of faithfulness, I trust, that you remembered the Lord's day. You remembered the Lord's birth for you and for me. You came. May that be a genuine sign of your faithfulness. But Paul is concerned that our faithfulness endure, because there is still a long ways ahead of us. Shall we succeed at the end? That is more important than the beginning. True? So it is. Are we going to be faithful to the end? Paul has written this letter to help us. You read and read again. What is he saying? Paul recounts for the Thessalonian church how they came to trust in the Lord Jesus through the preaching of Paul and Silas. Even though they were badly treated, they never gave up preaching the gospel. I say, dear friends, is anyone here ever mistreated because of preaching the gospel? I've never. Have you? Probably none. And yet we give up so easily. My dear friends, let us understand. Jesus on earth has no witnesses but you and me. And Paul took up that challenge. So ought we to take up that challenge, that we be faithful to declare the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we are witnesses. So Paul is concerned that this group in Thessalonica continue to be faithful. And I say that is the same concern here with our leaders, pastors, elders, deacons, leaders in the various contact groups, we have a concern. That's why we pray one for another. Praying for what? We don't pray that you will make a million or that you expand your business. We pray one for another that we remain faithful. Now add this to your prayer list, will you please? Are you praying one for another? It's so important. I said last week, the best thing you can ever do to a person is to pray for him. Now add that to your prayer list. I was just discussing this morning and planning to provide every worshipper here with a little notebook, a blank notebook, so that you can write little notes and maybe note some important golden texts of the Bible so that we make our worship more meaningful and more serious. Shall we do that? We'll try next week. All right. Paul is concerned, and we ought to be concerned for our members, for our brothers and sisters, and for one another, that we remain faithful. How can it be? Because this road ahead of us is fraught with danger, with temptation, with pitfalls. For everywhere the adversary is out to tempt us, to stumble us, and some fall victims. Paul is very concerned. That's why he wrote this letter. At every stop, you notice this, every chapter ends with the thought, we are heavenly people, and we are expecting and waiting and looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every chapter ends with that thought. And I think this is a great thought. For when you are conscious always that my Lord may return anytime, your life will be different. You know that? Because he's the author of your salvation, author of your faith, author of your Christian fidelity and faithfulness, and he's coming back. How then must you live your life? Will you be faithful to the end? So, I will read with you now the last few verses we just read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Why do we rejoice? You remember the key verse I gave you to explain why we rejoice. What verse is it? Do you remember? Verse 9. All right. Because God hath not appointed you to wrath, since you came to trust the Savior and to embrace him as your God. You are appointed to salvation. That makes all the difference in your outlook in life, in your contemplation of the future. What future do you have, dear friends? Let me ask you. Outside of Jesus Christ, you have no future. Nil, just nothing. Nothing to look forward to except a dark, black, hopeless outlook of damnation. But what does verse 9 say? God hath not appointed you to wrath. The wrath of God is a terrible thing because it says God is a consuming fire. And those who defy him, thumb their nose at him, and laugh at religion, and prefer to believe in evolution, they say, no God. On that day, the wrath of God will be shown to them, and they will regret, and they will want to repent, but there is no more repentance. Verse 9, but God hath appointed you and me to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What is salvation? Can you explain to me? Salvation is I know I have a Savior called Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, a baby, grew up to be a man despised and unwanted by his own, sent to the cross as a criminal, but on the cross he did the great work of carrying my sins away. And the wrath of God fell on him so that I can go free. That is salvation. And not only that, rose from the dead. You say, you keep telling me the same thing. Why do you tell me the same thing? I'm telling you the same thing because it is the same thing that you rejoice in. And therefore, I tell you something you must rejoice in. And this is gospel. Be faithful. Be patient as we serve him, because God hath not appointed you to wrath. Every day that alone should cause you to rejoice, that God has spared me from the coming judgment of eternal fire in hell. But instead of that, he's given me salvation, a place in his heavenly kingdom, to be called a son of God and to be an heir of God. This is the best thing you can ever have, far beyond anything the world can offer you that you cannot have. Yes, you think you can have the world? You cannot. You can have part of the world, and it will prove to be a very big stumbling block to you. So here we are. Rejoice evermore. Bear therefore, verse 16. Learn of verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Every day learn to pray. Please, if you don't know how to pray, what must you do? Answer is pray. Ask God, oh Lord, please help me to pray. Teach me to pray. That's why the disciples one day said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. So how can I pray without ceasing? I've learned to pray, but I have not learned how to pray without ceasing. What do you do? Answer is the same. Pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know how to pray without ceasing. Please teach me how to pray without ceasing. And he'll show you when you have the desire, the earnest wanting to pray without ceasing. God will show it to you. He will lead you into that pathway of prayer, praying without ceasing, so that you can pray through the day. While you are driving, while you are working on your computer, while you're having business transactions, you can pray all the time in your heart, in your mind, because you're in constant contact with the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Father, you pray. Makes a difference in your life, in the way you live, and helps you avoid falling into pitfalls and temptations. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Be a thankful Christian. A thankful Christian will stop showing a long coffee pot face. Why should any Christian be grumpy? It is a disgrace to be a Christian who is always grumpy. Even in the midst of sorrow, you must not be grumpy. Be like Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. All glory to the name of my Lord. So, rejoice, pray in everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God for you. Quench not the Spirit, because the Spirit in your heart will be the safeguard of your faith. And whenever you sin, the Holy Spirit in you will tell you, you are sinning. You know it. Now, at that moment, what must you do? Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned. I've fallen. Please help me up. But if you say no, you quench the Spirit, and after a while, you don't feel anything, even though you're sinning all the time. That is quenching the Spirit. Do not. Whenever there is that urge in you to know that you have done something wrong, pray, so Lord, forgive me. Carry on, read on. This is not prophesying here. It is referring to the preaching of the word of God, the truth. When you hear it, you know it is true, it is good for you. Don't despise it. Don't dismiss it. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Again, how can you do it? Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Keep you separate from the world. That's what it means, sanctify you. That you will realize always, every morning when you wake up, you know, I am a child of God. I'm different from the world. There are certain boundaries, guidelines I must not cross. I am to live a separate life from the things of the world, from the sins of the world, the practices of the world. Other people can do, I must not do. Why? Because I am a child of God. I have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I should live a sanctified life, different. Make your life shine. After this Christmas, live a new life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now comes to the theme today. Verse 23. Paul, I say, is a perfect, complete pastor. He leads you to salvation. He guides you through the Christian life. And it comes to the end of it. Now listen to what he says. I pray God, this is verse 23. I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body, wow, is a complete salvation, isn't it? Spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our theme today. That we may be faithful to the end. It's all good to begin with the Lord Jesus. To make a good start is very good. Then we walk and run the race with the Lord Jesus every day. It is a long race. It's a marathon. You are running, I hope. Don't stop. And carry on. And then the thought behind this prayer of Paul is that you be blameless. That when it comes to the final lap, you are still faithful. This is what counts in the end. Dear friends, how long have you followed the Lord Jesus? How many years? How many years have you served as a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader or some contact group leader? How many years has it been? Are you getting tired? I give you one secret. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. Yeah? So if you have served 10 years, say, praise the Lord. Lord, give me another 10 years. As long as you have work for me to do, keep me going, faithful for you. Verse 23. Paul's prayer is for you, and I read it for your sake, your benefit. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved, blameless, that you be faithful to the end, that when you meet your Savior, there will be no regrets. And He will say to you, welcome, well done. That's all you need, you know. Yes. And then you will be admitted to joys and wonderful things you never knew existed. You never knew. But they are there waiting for you. But you be faithful unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say, Christmas is to remember, remind ourselves, Jesus came as a baby once. He won't come as a baby again. Now every day, remind yourself, my Lord Jesus will come again. What for? Answer is for me, for you. He is coming for you. And that thought must spur you on to live the life that He wants you to live. The sanctified life, the different life, the godly life that pleases Him, right? Verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Wow, I say, what a promise. You say, well, I don't think God is interested in me, right? Answer is wrong. God is very interested in you, just you. He is interested in every one of us. You know that All our names are computerized in the big computer in the government. I met the man, he says, my firm won the contract for 2 weeks. We work at it like crazy, day and night, to computerize every single man, woman, child in Singapore into our computer system. And just a team of computer specialists working on big machines can do this with 4 million people. You think God cannot have an interest in you? He said, too many people. I say, you're wrong. God is interested in all who are His, all who have come to Jesus Christ in salvation, in repentance, and in discipleship. God is very interested in how you are doing. And as a servant of God, Paul says, you be blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. And how can it be? You say, of course, it's difficult. Difficult doesn't mean impossible, you know. Yeah, difficult is difficult, but impossible is a different word. Nothing with God is impossible. Nothing. Only you are uninterested. Non-interested, then, of course, God can't do anything. Now, verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? He will see to it. He will help you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will enable you to be faithful to the end. All right, now you say, give me Bible texts to help me. After all, who can help me? I say, that's right. Only the Word of God can help us. And this morning, I will conclude with this very helpful text from the Word of God, which tells you, He is faithful who called you, who also will keep you faithful. Right? This is verse 24. Can you listen and look at it again? He is faithful who called you, who also will do it, who also will keep you faithful, even though at the moment maybe you are unfaithful. At the moment maybe you're backslidden a bit. Maybe you've forgotten about God. You think, well, God doesn't care for me. You are wrong. He is there waiting to help you. Now, as I said, I want to give you some Bible verses to help you in your difficulties, in your moments of backsliding. And who doesn't backslide? Don't think you're exceptional. John's Gospel has the remedy. Chapter 10. And these verses will help you to walk close with the Lord with great enthusiasm and with a new hope, new courage. Don't be disappointed. Don't blame yourself all the time. Look to God and confess your sin, and He is going to help you. All right. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Everyone to turn there. And two verses, 14 and 15. They give you greatest encouragement. Jesus says to you, wonderful. He's talking, you know. You read for yourself. Would you like to read with me? All right, we all read together. Verses 14 and 15. Ready, everybody? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Amazing. Jesus reminds you this morning, don't think of me as a babe in the manger all the time, even though it's Christmas. And don't you imagine that the manger is a lovely place? It is not. You receive a Christmas card that looks so beautiful, full of blues and pinks and all kinds of colors, and the stars shining, and even the cows are smiling, and everybody is so happy. You say, this is Jesus' birth. I don't mind being there. I say, you mind. We went to a manger in Jerusalem. I tell you, there's no more smelly place than that manger. And this is a place where my Lord was born. But don't all the time think of manger. Think of the clouds where the Lord Jesus is going to return. In the clouds, in power and great glory to judge the world and to reward you. What does he say? Behold, I come quickly. He's not crying in the manger as a babe, you know. He is coming with glory and great power, and he says, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready? What does he say? My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. It was a reward that is coming your way. Ask yourself, are you worthy of a reward? Am I walking with the Savior? Am I faithful to the end? He's about to come. How much more do I have to run? You know, a marathon is 26 miles. How many miles have you run? Don't give up, because he promised he will enable you to run faithfully till the end. This is his promise. Dare you take him at his promise? Now here he says, I am the good shepherd. You are a sheep. I know you. I know everyone by name. Remember the big computer in Singapore that has 4 million names and it can grow to many more millions? Oh, God has a wonderful, super wonderful computer in heaven. And all your names are written there, and he's interested in everyone. Why? Because he's God. Because he's our Savior. Because he owns you. Who says so? He says so here. I know my sheep. Yeah. I lay down my life for the sheep. And once he's completed that transaction, on the cross, he laid down his life for you. You accepted him. He took down your name. That is a transaction. He is interested, concerned, and very intimately on your side. Does it help you? Are you going to be faithful? Do you have doubts? Read this. John's Gospel 10, 14 and 15 will give you immense comfort and confidence to go on with the Lord. Don't give up. Now, Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. May this apply to you, dear friends. Do you hear his voice every day? Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How can you be a friend of Jesus? You can be a friend of Jesus if you always do what he tells you to do. That's so simple. Only thing is you pretend you don't know. Or you don't read the word of God at all. You don't know because you're ignorant. Why should you be? When he has laid down his life for you, bought you to himself, knows your name, writes your name in his book of life, interested in you, concerned for you, are you concerned about yourself? My sheep hear my voice. Please listen to his voice every day. Go home, meditate on what you are hearing now. Not my voice, but it is the voice of the Lord Jesus. Where do you find it? John's Gospel. What chapter? Chapter 10. What verses? 14, 15, now 27. Wonderful verses. And he says, I know you. And you follow me. Every time you think of going to church, let your heart leap up with excitement. I'm going to God's house again. So disappointed. Wow. Another time got to go to church. Another burden. Wow. That is the call of Satan. That is the burden of the flesh. Why go to church? It's so burdensome. I might as well sit here and enjoy my television program. So it is. It happens to all of us, you know. Not yourself is any exception. But these are the real hard facts of life. My sheep, hear my voice. Every day pray, Lord, please give me that sensitivity to your voice. I like to hear your voice. I love to hear your voice. To know that I have a Savior who not only died for me, rose for me, ascended to heaven for me, but he is praying for me. You know that? That is in Hebrews 7:25. He ever maketh intercession for me because he lives there at the right hand of God, very concerned about you, every individual. How can it be? Answer, because he is God. Because he loves you. And he can do all things for you to ensure that one day when he comes, you are ready. Verse 28. More assurance from the words of God. I give unto them eternal life. What does eternal life mean? What kind of life is it? Does it last for 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or what? When you spend 10,000 years, there are 10,000 more, and that 10,000 keeps on going another 10,000 times. Never ending. You cannot imagine what it is. All of us have that sense of regret whenever a good holiday comes to the end. Whenever a season of celebration comes to the end, you say, wow. And it's ended because somebody's got sick or somebody's dying. Happy times on earth are never for long. Never, never, never. Yes. But when we come to the heavenly home, that never, never thing becomes true and real and everlasting. Everlasting life becomes everlasting and becomes a reality for you. You can grasp because when you arrive there, you will see things that you never dreamt before. Now, verse 28. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. And then the next verse, the next phrase is what? They shall never perish. When we took medicine as our study, and we arrived in the clinic, the professor says, boys and girls, in medicine, we never use the word never unless it is never. Never use the word never unless it is never. Oh. And what does it say here? They shall never perish. You have trusted the Lord truly with all your heart and given him your heart and your life and followed him and said, Lord, I really want to be yours. You will never perish. This is God's word. It's not mine. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Not even the devil can pluck you out of his hand. Why? Because he is more powerful than any devil. And he holds you. Who says so? Yeah, he says so. Yes. Then, more assurance, verse 29. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How many hands do you have? Two. Who holds one hand? Jesus the Son. Who holds the other hand? God the Father. Are you worried? Need you worry? Are you afraid? I say, put your hand in the hand of Father and Son and go on running the race, fighting the fight. Be faithful to the end. And that is our concluding hymn. I'm going to now share with you the words of this hymn that was not in the previous hymnal, but we quietly slipped it in. 432, when we did the reprint last 2 years ago, this hymn is worth pondering before we sing. 432, the former hymn we took away and we slipped this one in. And before we sing, I want to go through with you that you will understand. It is possible, very, very possible, that we all be kept faithful to the end because we have a wonderful God who loves you, who died for you, who rose for you, who's praying for you. Stanza one says, how good is the God we adore? You adore him? Oh, he is a good God. Our faithful, unchangeable friend. We change, he doesn't. We go cold, he doesn't. He's always warm and affectionate with you. His love is as great as his power and knows... Ah, what does it say here? Wonderful. Neither measure nor end. He knows no measureless, unlimited power, unlimited love, and unlimited duration to the end, to the end. Until they arrive home, he still cares for you. Stanza 2. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, whose spirit shall guide you home. Wow, how wonderful. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you. He's your comforter. We'll praise him for all that is past. Always thank him. Thank him for what? Thank him for Bethlehem. Thank him for Calvary. Now thank him for the things to come, that one day you'll be in that wonderful heavenly home. We'll trust him for all that's to come. Oh, what is to come is far, far more than what has happened behind us. The things that God has prepared for you, neither ear has heard, nor eyes have seen, nor heart has conceived, those wonderful things, they are there waiting for you. Stanza 3. But what says our shepherd divine? For his holy word we must keep. This flock hath the Father made mine, says Jesus. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, stanza 4. 'Tis life everlasting. That's what I said, isn't it? Life that knows no ending is the best vacation you can ever have. 10,000 times better than the best vacation, and no end. No regrets at the end. My blood was the price my sheep cost. Not one that on me shall believe shall ever be finally lost. Wow, here it is. Here is the assurance. And on this verse you can say, once saved, always saved. Can you say that? Once saved, always saved. Because I put my hand in the hand of my Savior, and he leads me, and he does not let me fall again.